I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Happy Monday. Welcome into Tech Talk. You've got us on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. A successful weekend, about as successful as you can get for Red Raider baseball, sweeping the West Virginia Mountaineers. We're going to talk all about it right here. We also got some spring game talk headed your way, some Rangers, Astros, a little bit of everything. We're live from the First United Bank Studio. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973. You can also hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, how your weekend was. You can also take us anywhere with a mobile app. That is brought to you by Happy State Bank. We're also streaming live on Fox 34 News Now and on YouTube. And as always, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman behind the glass taking care of you. Gus, how are you?
Well,
that's not good if you have to think about it.
I am fantastic. I should have a compelling text pop in. I didn't know what I was dealing with there. I am fantastic. Good weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, most weekends I'm not the pro doubleheader, but that weather was
monsoonish.
Well, or just crappy. I mean, it wasn't really dumb. I mean, it really never cut loose with the rain.
Yeah. Whenever you were playing, and I had a hard time because I wasn't here in Lubbock whenever whatever the deepest pocket of rain was. I was on the road, which was really fun to find it that way.
it was awesome. It is
so,
you know,
cool, so great. Clouds, so great. Thank you.
Yeah, like the, I mean, I was at 1 o'clock. I remember coming out and getting my car, and like the temperature doodad was 43 degrees. Mm-hmm. And it was still dreary and wet and like, man. And that, in fact, it was right around the time that the thing popped in that we're going to play a doubleheader on Sunday. And again, most days I'm no, you know, I'm thinking, please no. But I'm like, man, if they delay that game all, you know, delay it all the way out till 6, which they had called that shot after Friday night.
Yeah.
And it was the right thing to do there. But by the time it, 2 o'clock rolled around, I'm thinking, there isn't a human being in this town that wants to go to the ballpark in this crap.
Yeah.
Even if it dried out. And so, thank goodness it was a doubleheader. It was a really nice day at the ballpark. There wasn't hardly a flicker of wind all day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, temperatures, what, 58, 59, whatever. And so, kind of, you know, I would even say it was hoodie weather. But, you know, and a lot of folks getting in a lot of sunshine, and obviously two good results for the Red Raiders. And, you know, really a fascinating point in the Big 12 right now.
It's
plenty funny to talk about.
Sure. It's funny you said that about, like, nobody wanted to be out there, because I didn't see any, if at all, and not that it happens every single time, but when you have a weather delay, like when you know, Tech said on Thursday, hey, we're not going to do the spring game in Midland. We're going to go back in because of
the threat of lightning.
Weather issues. And I did see a little bit like, oh, we can't play in it out there. I didn't see as much complaining when Tech moved the game. It was like, oh, we can't play baseball in a little rain. It was like, wow. I wouldn't complain because I wouldn't want to be sitting out in it.
Yeah. Well, and from the from the football team standpoint, as you start thinking about going down there, knowing that there's a decent chance of that, mm-hmm. and then you're like, hey, we're going to take the whole, you know, however many zillion people, mm-hmm. everybody associated with that thing, going to a high school stadium, a nice high school stadium, but
sure.
if we do get into a lightning delay,
Mm-hmm. Or, or if you can't even set up because right, it's that doing
place
it from the
that
start.
Place isn't really built. We're just going to sit out in the parking lot in the buses.
Yeah.
For then the 10 fans that are going to come out from Midland to Odessa if it's raining and lightning. It was absolutely the right thing to do. And Coach McGuire addressed it. He was like, I've been trying to get to Midland for 3 years and hadn't been able to do it. You know, that was the nature of his comment. But it was, that weather on Saturday was stunk around, you know, decent, better weather on Friday, because Friday night's game wasn't miserable in the ballpark mm-hmm. by any stretch. Obviously, a really good result for the Red Raiders, but the, you know, yesterday ended up being nice.
I have no idea what they were talking about on the show before us, but there was a text that was attributed to them, but it's on our chat line, and so I'm just going to read it. I don't drink or smoke crack. Boom.
Oh, man.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Red Raiders do get the sweep, and, man, nothing like coming back home. And I also thought – I thought you showed some things in the losses against Arkansas that it looked like you were reacting better on the road, but it still resulted in two losses. So my question, Gus, was would that be a beatdown type of reaction where you come into the weekend against who I thought was the hottest team in the Big 12 in West Virginia, and even where you've been good, you know, would things go sour on you this weekend and couldn't have responded in a better way? And starting with Friday.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was a beatdown.
Yeah, and that was it's not crazy for those type games to happen. When you see a team that comes into a series with a Sunday TBA, they may be telling you they're short, a little short on the mound. All right, mm-hmm. not to say they're not good, just maybe telling you, hey, we were told on Friday morning, John and I were, that one of their guys that had made 14 or 15 appearances, mostly out of the pen, and had carried 30, 35 innings for them, had, you know, elbow deal, walked off, and he goes, it's probably as bad as you would think it is. In mm-hmm. other words, a kid probably needs Tommy John or whatever.
Yeah.
But, and then you see TBA, and then you see us get out to a 2-0, 2-1 lead, and then 6-1, and they have to go to the pen, you know, and I'm like, it's a right-hander. And then when I get my first chance to glance at it, this kid's making his fourth appearance of the year, and mm-hmm. it's like, whoa, Nelly, they're in trouble. Because they were basically doing the deal where you're like, I can't throw a high-leverage bullpen arm when I'm uh-huh. down 6-1 in the fourth inning. You know uh-huh. what I mean? Like, you throw your high-leverage guys when you got a chance to win. And so Friday night became a beatdown, just as yeah. you're saying, because they were out of arms.
It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. We'll come back with more. It's the Juice on the other side. Keep it right here in Double T 97.3.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is the Juice. You got Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Time for some headlines. Let's got Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman. As we mentioned, of course, Saturday's game for Red Raider baseball turned into a doubleheader on Sunday. And the games were closer than what they were on Friday night in that 15-2 win for the Red Raiders. But still a couple of good wins, and you get a sweep. Texas Tech winning game one 6-4, and then game two 3-1. And in that game one, West Virginia had an opportunity late, and they certainly showed some fight, scoring Ooh. A couple runs in the eighth and then putting some heat there in the ninth inning. And, boy, show some backbone. I thought really good timely outs out of jams, especially in that first game. There was quite a few jams that I felt like each yep. pitcher that had an appearance got out of and had some pretty good defense behind him to help out with that. But
it's amazing. It's amazing how making routine plays changes things. Because mm-hmm. there was a highlight reel defensive play yesterday, and it was that relay in the mm-hmm. eighth inning
yeah,
throwing
sure.
a guy out at the plate. But just you know, sharply hit ground ball. Hey, look, 5-4-3 out of an inning. Mm-hmm. You know, we got more time to talk about it. But, yeah, they took care of the baseball this weekend, and it's amazing how it feels like, well, our pitching sure was a lot better this weekend. Well, yeah, because we caught the ball behind them. But go ahead.
The 12th-ranked Red Raider men's golf entered the Big 12 championship today as the one seed in the conference. It'll be today, tomorrow, and then the final round on Wednesday. They're playing in Trinity, Texas at the Whispering Pines Golf Club. That is a par 72 for all the golf fans out there.
Couldn't even tell you about where Trinity, Texas is. Trinity, Texas is somewhere
in Texas. In
the North Star State. Huntsville. Wow. Dang. That must be a heck of a course to go, hey, let's play this tournament here in the middle of literally a place where there's no, I mean, I guess it's sort of A&M-ish. But they're not in the Big 12, right? Texas A&M, no longer in the Big 12. Is that right? Okay. Well, maybe it's a great course. I hope it is.
I have no issue either way because I don't have an opinion. Nor should I have an opinion on this, but I do think it's interesting when you get into, you know, the conversation we've had, like, hey, is football going to move around? Like, are they ever going to move it from Kansas City for basketball? When you get into the tournaments who are set and, you know, the bigger sports, but when it gets, like, down to this, like, what does golf do? I assume that this moves a lot, and I could be wrong. But wherever it is, you would like to think that they're playing at a very nice course.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Absolutely. Just kind of in the middle of nowhere, relatively speaking. It's not really anchored to Waco or whatever. It looks like it's about an hour or two north of Houston.
Yeah, this is Houston's home course or whatever, or where they suggested. 72 holes in total will be played, 36 today, 18 tomorrow, and 18 on Wednesday. It did not go that great for Texas Tech softball. They were swept by the 6th-ranked Oklahoma State Cowgirls. That's a tough team to go up against. You lose 11-3. That was in 6. That was for game 1. 13-0 in game 2. That ended in the 5th inning. Tried to come back in game 3, but still lost 6-4. They'll be off until this weekend when they have a road series against the Houston Cougars. That moved their conference record to 6-12. Texas Rangers, they avoided being swept by beating the Braves. 3 home runs were hit in this game by the Rangers, winning it 6-4. They'll move on after being off tonight to start a series against the Mariners. Tomorrow, you can hear it starting at 6:30 on Double T 97.3. On the other side, in a rubber match against the Astros and the Nationals, they were blanked 6-0. Mitchell Parker threw 7 scoreless innings in his start there for the Nats. And the Astros moved to 7-16 overall. They'll be off as well before starting a series tomorrow against the Cubs. Also saw game 1 between the Clippers and the Mavs. For all you Dallas fans, off on the wrong foot. 109-97. They'll play again tomorrow at Los Angeles before the series comes back to Dallas for 2 games. So Luka Doncic and company will look to bounce back then. The Dallas Stars, they'll start their playoff run tonight against the Golden Knights. That is an 8:30 start. And you can find it on ESPN if you're looking to watch it. And that is the juice. This on the chat line, Shelley was informing us that that was from the end of the bench. I guess Collier filled an alcohol pop quiz and took some heat.
I wonder what that is. I wonder what the alcohol pop quiz consists of.
Ben, do you know? I know you weren't producing the end of the bench, but do you know what that quiz was? Did they talk about
first
it?
First I've heard of it.
Show? I'm going to guess it was either brands or like how do you make this drink? That would be what my guess was. This on the chat line. Dr. Gus, I have an uncle who coached high school basketball in Trinity. His family lived on the Trinity River. We caught an alligator and a 96-pound catfish when we visited them one time. Also, my first experience with fire ants. That is a lot of nature in that comment. I'm out on the alligators. I'm out.
I was like Chuck and Jamie and them in the morning doing the deal where they throw out, like, it's National Licorice Day, and they're like, I'm out. You know, like, hey, I've seen the two of you. Y'all are in on some kind of food, all right? There's something in there. But
I like the reverse weight bash because those two do it more than anybody in the station.
What's that?
I'm calling it the reverse weight bash because Jamie makes fun of all the tubby kids in Little League.
Tubby kids
and Little Chuck League. Throws around things like heavy legs to choice and stuff like that. Finally, revenge. I say, well, dude, nail down, Gus. I really was just
thinking
throw the dirt over the top.
Our texter talks about catching that alligator, and I'm going, I'm out. And the I'm out then reminds me of listening to those guys in the morning. It's National Licorice Day. Out. Like, they can't, like, knock the door down to tell you they're out on all these foods. I'm thinking, oh, hang on a minute.
Do you like licorice? That is a controversial one you pulled
out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. Not really. I don't. I mean, have I eaten it? Sure. I haven't eaten enough of it to go, yes, I prefer the red over the green, over the whatever.
Well, because the bad one, right, is black licorice.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
If we're doing the I'm out game, I'm actually in on it. My favorite jelly bean is the black licorice jelly bean.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of spicy. I like it.
Okay.
Which is good because when most people don't, and I get the, like, oh, you like black licorice? It's so bad. It's like, well, you don't have to fight me for it, right?
Sure.
That's good.
That's true.
That's a good thing. I'm out. I am out on alligators, though. I don't trust them. If I was in an area that I knew had a high population, I would be on edge all the time. Shelley said Max Mountsnag was also a stellar defensive play.
Max. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was a rocket right at him, and fortunately it was glove high. You know, because if that thing, and it was 104, it was a missile right back at him. And if it's a glove high, and so he throws the pitch in his gloves here, and he goes, like, here to here. If that thing's kneecap high, he's in a pile. And that's kind of how it goes. But, yeah, that's just a good reaction. The best part about that, too, is it's something to talk about. But after you walk, he walks out of there, and you're like, hey, one pitch went out. Nice job. Got him popping up, kid.
We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of the series, but I want to talk about a situation that happened before we get into the breakdown of the games and how Tech won them all. It involved a ball boy. It's Tech Talk on the other side.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Happy Monday. It is Tech Talk here on Double T97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Hope you had a great weekend. Hard not to if you were a Red Raider baseball fan after the sweep of West Virginia. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman taking you all the way up to 6 o'clock. That time, then it's Red Raider baseball with Tim Tadlock. Should be an extra fun show, and you can listen to it here on Double T97.3. Or you can go to Rudy's and get your questions in. Not too many more of those shows left. I'm not sure how many they have on the number side of it.
Yeah, there's a list somewhere online at the very beginning that list gets put out, but I know they bumped one the day of the Brady Trumbello line drive, the very first one, so I don't know if they have to make that up. But here's what we know. There's two Tuesday games left in the entire schedule, and they're the next two Tuesdays, and they're at home. Mm-hmm. So these guys shouldn't be traveling on any Mondays. So to be able to get, you know, if whatever, the next two or three Mondays, I wouldn't think is out of the question. But, yeah, we can figure that out. I'm sure Hacks may have that information tonight.
So I teased this on the other side. I felt horrible for the kid. There was nothing malicious, and I do believe that this could have happened to anybody out there, whether you've been told to double, triple, quadruple check the ump's hands go up and that it's a foul ball or a fair ball or not, especially when it's drilled right to you. But you, I told you this in the break. I wish I would have saved this audio from you, and I'm sure there's a way we can access it. I was wondering from your vantage point, and then also the way that the booth is set up for Hacks and Jamie, I mean, they probably have an even more difficult angle of seeing down, you know, that line towards the right field as far as the foul line, like trying to see the angle of, hey, was this fair or was this foul? And in this case, seeing where the baseball went.
Yep. And set the stage. We're talking about yesterday's game.
This is in the first game yesterday.
Yeah. About halfway through, midway through, early maybe. Because they got a couple runs in that inning, but yes, or got one
they
maybe,
scored
but
one
it should have been
of
two.
That, and it should have been two.
Yep.
Yeah. And let's see. That would have been, I believe, the fourth inning.
Yep.
When this happened, and so it's, you know, if you didn't see it, it turns into a I guess in this case it's a book rule double, right? I'm still trying to figure out the difference.
Yeah, probably.
Whatever. It's a double, and play stopped, and now you have runners stuck at second and third, and you know Mazie's upset because. I mean,
the
guy that
was
a third was going to
100% because there was two outs and he's motoring on contact. And it started with runners on first and second or first and third. So the lead guy scores easily. The dude from first is flying and he's getting waved. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, dead ball, dead ball. And I'm thinking it got stuck under the fence because the way the netting is, just the angle of the very, very – and I'm not even talking about the right field corner. I'm talking about like in the literal foul, along the foul line where the fence is. Thinking, well, Buster got stuck on the fence, and John and I can't see it. Monitor, replay. Oh no!
And I don't know. Yes, I don't know how many real time seconds it was. It felt like 30, and I could tell I was waiting for you guys to get that camera angle, and you were doing that. Like, hey, is it in the netting? Maybe it went to the wall. Something's happened where this baseball is lost, and then as it slows it down, and you see it go to his mitt, you expressed it perfectly with your Oh no.
Yeah. And my reason for that oh no was had everything to do with the fact that if I was in the other team, if that was Texas Tech and had happened at West Virginia, we would be on this show.
Oh, we'd be ready to light a fire somewhere.
Beefing and moaning me? And
sure.
You know, not to mention, and especially when you now fold it into, and they ended up getting swept, lost the game, didn't score the run, lost the game, got swept in the doubleheader, got swept on the weekend, and then it's just something to gripe about for a segment. But that was my thought is, oh man, you know, you just don't want that. And I even sing the praises of the Tramps down there. There's some entertainment there. Mm-hmm. And because the one kid that goes out there and catches it and like pumps his fist,
and the
crowd cheers. It's awesome. I mean, that's fun at the ballpark. That's exactly what it's all about. But that's, you know, the other kid jumping out there and playing a live ball and like costing our visitors a run. It's like, you guys have got to pay attention. You got to pay attention to the game. You got to see, you know. But, anyway, but they save us time because when we go to places and there's a, you know, a chopper hit down the foul lines, which there's 10 a game or more, you know, usually that's a dude taking off from the dugout, some pitcher, manager running all the way out in the right field corner, and then he gets it and scurries back into foul territory, and then you can like, all right, play ball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we've got a tramp down there in each corner to kind of scurry out there and pick that up, or the right fielder goes over and gets it and flips it to him. We're kind of back to action a little bit quicker.
Oh,
over
yeah.
the course of the game, maybe it's 5 minutes shorter because they're out there and you don't – it's not a stupid track meet of watching some manager run back and forth or yesterday's pitcher or whatever. And so it's not
the
all
dude
bad.
Dude from the dugout who draws the short straw who knows he's,
absolutely,
he's not getting
dude,
it today.
Dude, absolutely. And there's 100%. I mean, back in the old days when we used to chase foul balls out of the stadium and bring them back in, like fans couldn't keep the foul balls when I played. That's how old I am. Because it was a money thing. Like,
we got to go get those back.
100%. We're laughing. 100%. Get Gary Ashby in here.
You find that ball or you lose your jersey, pal.
Absolutely. And you'd send pitchers out there in pairs to go find them. And that's why they created the Double T Dolls. Because it was girls who would come to the game and basically they were there. They would go out in pairs and chase foul balls out of the stadium.
Uh-huh.
And they would also, if Clint Scott caught a foul ball and he was feeling good about himself, they'd come over and go, "Sir, we need that ball back." And you go, you know, this sucks. But and well, that finally changed it, in the 90s when they got a sponsor that paid for it. And then you got like the, you know, the broken glass noise every time. And this foul ball brought to you by, you know, whatever. So-and-so auto glass, whatever.
We nail it every time.
Nah, something like that. It's basically something like that. But the total amount that they were fundraising back in those days was about the baseball budget. It was like, hey, let's see if we can go out and find somebody that, you know, a $5,000 sponsor that would, so we can let the fans keep the game balls.
And we're Coach tired Ashby, of sending our players on Easter egg hunts. Please, please fund us.
You've heard Ashby sit in that chair from your vantage point over there and talk about you know, him going, you know, how they had to chase them all down and get the that's a $3 baseball. We got to have that back. And you know, it was a very real thing. Just, you know, the it's a change of world, and it's become 50 times more fan friendly now too.
Like you were
it was back in those
you're
days.
You're a breath away from a Sandlot. Like,
oh.
It's like, well, I've got a ball.
Dude, you're
what
out
are you
there.
Waiting for? Go get it. 100%. Come on, Gus.
But there was always like two pitchers on that list. It might have been yesterday's starter or somebody else or whatever. And they're like, hey, you guys are on foul balls today. Like, there's your running. You're out there walking around.
Was there
in the
a
street.
Groan when that happened?
Oh,
because I would have complained.
Hell yes, dude. I mean, it's just part of the deal. But then somebody else's, like the bullpen guys today, they were out during batting practice out beyond left field. And you see this now. Mm-hmm. And they're chasing home run balls during BP. Again, if a little kid gets one bouncing over there to him like, hey, Timmy, congratulations. Really need that ball back. You know.
Don't whatever. Make us fight you, Timmy. We're on foul ball duty again. It's just on it on Tuesday. Gosh.
Tough deal there for tough the break.
Yeah, that wasn't supposed to bear him deal. Or anything. Yeah. I just your call was beautiful.
Oh no. Oh no. Oh, man. I wouldn't promise I wasn't trying to be funny. That was genuinely like, oh man, that's
I know that's what I was that just sucks. You nailed it. Just like I bet a bunch of people watching they just had a pit in their stomach thinking about everything that was going on with it.
Podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3, DoubleT973.com. Thanks for hanging out with us. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman behind the glass taking care of us. We will have the High School Fan Zone at 6 o'clock tonight over on 100.7 The Score. Hour and a half long program tonight on a Monday edition. Coronado, Estacado, Lubbock High in Monterey will go from 6 to 7:30. And then 6 o'clock over on Double T 97.3 right here after we're done. It is Red Raider Baseball with Tim Tadlock.
Clint was just saying that he wants everybody to text in their favorite Rob Zombie song title. So get that in.
It was something to go from Fat Joe to Rob Zombie there on the old TV.
On the old machine, on the old jukebox.
The old jukebox.
Yep. So, text that in. Good. Send us a good Rob Zombie song.
This from Jennifer. Whispering Pines is in a beautiful area on the north end of Lake Livingston. Not a lot to do other than golf, fish, and water ski. Okay. Maybe wrangle an alligator.
Yep. Nope. I'm out.
Nope. This on the chat line. Bobby Hot Dog said, Bobby Hot Dog said, Gus should bring Collier some of his rot gut tequila as a hands-on learning experience. I think Collier might die if you did that. What was it called again?
It's Durango. Tequila. Comes in a plastic bottle for your safety. It's easily transported. walk in it perfect. That's exact. Poorman with the best hit of the day right there. The walk into the most nondescript liquor store. Like, don't pick a big fancy chain. But like, pick the little mom and pop.
It's somebody's name.
Yeah, pick the mom and pop. Mm-hmm. Johnny's Liquor Store.
Exactly. Yeah.
BB's Liquor Store. Pick the little liquor store, little strip thing here in town, whatever.
Spirits and wines.
And go in there and say, what's the cheapest tequila you got, and see what they say. see what you
just
get.
Just say, hey, I'm on a budget, yeah, but I want it in a large quantity.
And you could throw it. That's exactly what Clint just said. You could even throw in, hey, I've got a bunch of college kids, whether you do or not, just, and they go, oh, yeah, okay, well, here. Hey, you want Durango. It's in the plastic jar right over there. Thank you.
I want something cheap and something that will totally burn off any taste buds I have on my tongue.
Where's the Sour Patch Kids, yes, Gus? Yeah. First they're sour, then they're sweet.
It doesn't go sweet. It never goes sweet. It just stays like acid.
First they're sour, then they burn.
I saw that trash can set on fire after you threw away the little Dixie cup. Just poof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spontaneous combustion.
Yep.
It was incredible.
Yep.
Get Durango today.
One thing about it, yeah, if you drink soda, I wouldn't even say that. Just, I wouldn't even say, yeah, that just, it just pulls the shades down a little quicker, right?
I hope that turns into, I mean,
if you're trying to get it started, you're trying to get a base runner, you know, that kind of a deal. Like, yeah, hey, we got to get this thing started. Somebody get on base. Yeah. Okay. Well, take a shot of that. There you go. Yeah. Party started.
Because that's not going to be your home run hitter. That's no. You're talking to the guy, like, find a way to get on base. I mean, it doesn't matter if you walk. You know, if you push it till you get plunked in the shoulder, just get to first.
Right. It's almost like you need a ceremonial first. Like, hey, this party started when somebody throws out the first Durango shot. Like, okay, hey, play ball. Party now.
That first pitch was horrible.
Party on.
He was seeing 10 catchers behind the plate. Ben, please give us your play of the day.
Base is juiced. Opportunity knocking for Austin Green. The 2-1. This one lifted in the air. Out towards right field. It's got a chance. A grand slam for Austin Green. Someone get a water hose and put this man out. It is unbelievable the tear that Austin Green is on.
What a swing.
Stack them up. Four runs. Makes this one 11-2, Texas Tech.
Five RBIs for Austin Green that game, which I believe was the first 15-2 win on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Somebody boys, get a hose and put him out.
Boys, put it on him.
That's a good call from Choice. Old Choicer.
He was red hot. I think John had said... I had done a deal, just, you know, he was a player spotlight or whatever on Friday before that game. And usually you're highlighting a dude that's been on such a heater that there's about to be some regression. So a lot of times you're going, oh, man, he's got 9 hits in his last 3 games or whatever. Like, he can't continue that pace.
Yeah.
And I had done something like whatever it was, 13 hits in his last 5 games or 12 hits in his last 5 games or whatever it was. And John had done something like, hey, he's got 20 hits in his last 10 games or whatever. I mean, he had just, you know, bottle rocketed himself up the batting charts and productive along the way and doing it out of switch hit and roll and all that stuff. So, yeah, it'd be great if he could continue that. I don't know. That's even possible, but boy, it's been a big reason of why they're successful.
Damian Bravo, speaking.
Good to see him back.
I was going
to
say he back in
didn't
the lineup.
Didn't play on Friday
and
did play yesterday. Yeah.
Ultimately, again, it's the second time we've done this with him. Working. Okay, what's he going to do when he comes back? Because now, you know, is the bat going to be just as good as it was before this? What did you make of him and his return to the lineup?
Yeah, I was. I'm always worried when you get a hand or wrist thing, just because it's so naggy. You know, it's like a quarterback. You know, we watched B.J. Simmons put up record-setting numbers without an ACL. Mm-hmm. You know, with the torn ACL that he got in a celebration. But if that had been a broken middle finger, he ain't doing any of that. You know, it's like that's
Isn't
just
that
the
crazy?
Nature of it. Yes, yeah. It is. And then you go to the defensive end that might have had 15 sacks with a broken finger.
Yeah,
you know, like,
exactly.
Big deal.
Just put a club on my hand.
Exactly.
And I'll go. It doesn't matter.
Just how the sport works.
You can break my entire forearm, and I will be just fine if you reset it and let me go out there with the club.
Two different times he's left games. The only two times he's really left games this year. Mm-hmm. It's been kind of shaking a hand or shaking a wrist. One of them was a dive defensively out in the outfield two Sundays ago at TCU, and you know, I'm always antsy about that. Like, man, because mm-hmm. it's hard. You can play through it. Just toughen up and go do it. But you may go back and look like, hey, there was the demarcation point. Before that, he was hitting 350, and mm-hmm. after that, he hit 220.
And then you get into which, you know, a coach's favorite thing to do. Okay, is this guy at 70% as good as mm-hmm. this guy as 100%? Mm-hmm. While also knowing that even if it's marginally better, that 70% is going to continue to be 70% and just slightly get better because we keep putting him through, you know,
sure.
strain on his body or strain never, on whatever yeah, that injury may
it
be.
It never gets right. Yeah. In a sense, maybe that extra day, Saturday, may have helped just to, you know, gave him another day.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? He might have been ready to go on Saturday anyway. Yeah, he jumped right back in there, and you know he hit a ball yesterday. I think his name was White, the right fielder, caught one at the top of the wall. It wasn't a highlight reel crashing mm-hmm. into the fence or anything, but everybody in the ballpark's thinking, "Oh, that thing's out of here, man! Mm-hmm. We just broke this game open." The dude catches it, you know, a foot from going into the bullpen, and thinking, "Man, he's swinging it well."
Yeah,
he wasn't nuclear this week or yesterday, but it was. He looked like himself.
I thought he hit another foul ball that he was just behind
mm-hmm.
If you knock it straight, that's probably going over the wall.
Yep.
It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3. We'll keep going on the other side.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman. 30 more minutes with us. Get us those questions for Ask Tech Talk. We'll do that here in 15 minutes. We'll have Red Raider Baseball with Tim Tadlock after we're done live from Rudy's. So let's go to the spring game that was.
Yep.
And again, of course, you know, closed to the public on it, but we do have results and stuff like that. Also, something we have is, of course, Coach McGuire kind of breaking down what he saw and the position we're all probably most interested in, even though Baron Morton was out. He talked about what he saw from the two backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, I thought they did a really good job. I thought early in the game, Will was really on the mark. I could be wrong. I have to go back and look. But, you know, I think counting the interception, I don't know if the ball hit the ground whenever he was out there, you know, in the first half. I could be totally wrong. I don't know if he had an incompletion. But, you know, I thought he operated really well. I thought all three of them, you know, again, you saw some times that I think they sped the game up that they didn't have to, just on they felt pressure from our defensive line, and sometimes you got to step up in the pocket and make a play knowing you're going to get hit. The one touchdown to Coy, Will would have gotten hit. It wouldn't have been a sack, but he would have got hit, and he stepped up into the pressure, and so I thought that was really good. You know, when we get through with this, I'm really anxious whenever Kirk, our offensive analyst, Kirk Bryant, gives me the full year, I mean, not the full year, the full spring of our completion percentages, interceptions. Like, for instance, that was our 15th practice, and that was Will Hammond's fourth interception out of every time he's thrown the ball in the spring. That's every seven on seven rep, that's every competitive rep. That's the fourth time he's, you know, thrown an interception. So he's done a really good job of taking care of the football. Thought Jake, you know, came out and threw the ball well. You know, it's one of those deals that those guys, they all kind of do different things at a really high level. I think the one thing that you're going to see with Cam that really lets him get going We kind of had a little bit of a guy like this, Charlie Brewer. You know, he's one of those guys, if he gets hit, he's got to kind of get hit and get going and get in the game. The thing, it only happened one time today where you could see him really open up and run. But the run game, whenever he's in there, I think he's going to make a big difference.
He also, I know we mentioned it, but he also talked about, in his own words, about the quarterback depth chart.
I'm kind of anxious to see, like, no doubt, you know, Barron's number one. I think the guy that goes in after that is going to be Cam Brown. You know, again, you want to work your tail off unless you have to where you don't want to play a freshman, and or you only want to play a freshman in those four games. And so I think it's, you know, as you go through, Barron and Cam are the two guys that we play tomorrow. And the reason I say Cam is because we've really worked on some different things that, I mean, I hate to bring this up because it's a nightmare for me, but I think you would see a lot of what K-State, the packages they did in that game against us, whenever that was really his first extended play, their freshman quarterback. I think you would see a lot of that style of football whenever Cam, you know, is in the game, or if he has to come into the game, you're going to kind of see a lot of that. And so those two guys are the guys that I would be going 1 and 2.
And I don't know about you guys, because now, obviously with Micah Hudson, I think he would lead everyone's list of guys that we didn't see at all last year. And there's some guys that we saw last year that, I don't get me wrong, I'm excited to see what kind of progression they've made, like a Jordan Brown or Corey Egan, guys like that. Mm-hmm. But as far as new faces to the roster, he's kind of working into my personal top three of guys I'm excited to see what it looks like in in-game action.
You're not
for,
talking
for Cameron Brown.
Yeah.
Just because we just keep on hearing different things about him.
Well, and he's, I mean, he's changing what's happening in the portal. I mean, we've got guys stepping into the portal because they've gone, hey, I just got passed by that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, almost to the point that, like, maybe you got a couple running backs, maybe you're going, hey, that guy's pretty good. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm, you know, I already know I'm playing, we're all playing behind that guy, Taj.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see this dude that comes in here in January, and he's like, maybe, perhaps, it sounds like he's on another level in a way that the other dudes that have, you know, that are thinking, hey, I'm fighting for two, maybe three, four.
Yeah,
and now you're like, no, you guys, you two over here, you second and third year guys may be shooting for four and five. And that guy who's younger than you is ahead of you.
Because they're looking at that going, not only am I running out of years, but the guy that's coming in with more years in front of him.
There's my carries.
Yeah.
There's my reps. There's my plays. Yeah. And that I mean, that was always the challenge. I mean, pick the sport, pick the team, whatever. When you were playing, you were like, hey, these young dudes that are coming in can't pass me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't pass me, because if they pass me, especially if you're in a position where there's one of you, you know, there's one second baseman, there's one kicker, there's one point guard. Well, point guard's a little bit different, but you know, that key spot where if one of you's on the field, the other one isn't. Like, man, you got to be the best guy in your class, and you can't let anyone behind you. And then if you're in a good situation, maybe you can nip somebody older than you and steal some playing time. But it sounds like to me this kid who's been here 3 months has already pushed some dudes out of the way.
Speaking of Anquan Willis, and you can go back to like the bowl game last year with like Loic Fungi, you're not the only school that's done this where you have a guy that's, I'm going to enter the portal or have entered the portal and haven't committed anywhere. And in this case, it's playing in the spring game. With Fungi, of course, it was playing in the bowl game. Do you have any issues with that as far as seeing those guys play? Because I've seen it, I feel like, pretty 50-50 of, like, why are we letting him? I have no issue with it, but I would also listen to the reasoning of, like, well, you know, you're taking a game away. You're taking reps away from someone who wants to be here, you know. I get that side of it, too.
Yeah, I could put it in the bowl game context. I could say, hey, I'm a – most interested in what it takes to win today.
Sure.
And if Loic Fungi gave us that chance on December 18th or whatever, then that's who should be out there. I had no problem with that in a bowl game. In an inner squad like this situation here, where I'm all antsy about who's getting reps and getting hurt and all that stuff, like, all right, good job, Clint, on your five plays. It's like a preseason football game for me. hey, Willis and you other dudes, Donnell and you guys, get out there and get after it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they change their mind about being here, or maybe, you know, but they're also not the only ones on the field in a way that are getting showcased. Maybe give you the best look to have them there.
Get your questions in for Ask Tech Talk. That's on the other side here on Double T 97.3.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.